And now, as the choir has gotten me severely choked up, that was beautiful. Let us read from the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verses 6 through 11, in the Message version. I spelled out your character in detail to the men and women you gave me. They were yours in the first place, and then you gave them to me. And they have now done what you said. They know now, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that everything you gave me is first and foremost from you. For the message you gave me, I gave them, and they took it, and they were convinced that I came from you. They believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the God-rejecting world, but for those you gave me, for they are yours by right. Everything mine is yours, and yours is mine. For my life is on display in them. I am no longer going to be visible in the world, but they will continue in your world while I return to you. Holy Father, guard them as they pursue this life that you conferred as a gift through me, so they can be one heart and mind, as we are one heart and mind. Here ends the reading. Thanks be to God. Today is Confirmation Sunday, and it has been a joy and a privilege teaching our confirmation class this month. These students have learned what it means to be a Christ follower, what it means to be United Methodist, and they have studied topics like the mystery of the Holy Trinity, the difference between prevenient grace, justifying grace, and sanctifying grace, and the Wesley Quadrilateral. You know, easy and light things. These eight students have learned the importance of putting their faith into action with service projects and participated in many spiritual formation exercises. Lindsay and I are so proud to be your youth leaders, and we are so thankful for your hard work, determination, and maturity during this time. The greatest gift of being a pastor is getting to enter into the high highs and low lows with people I deeply love. As a minister of the gospel, I am invited into some of the most intimate and holy moments of people's lives, and it is an honor to get to accompany such beloved people through trials and tribulations, weddings and births, confirmations and baptisms, to truly experience the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ as a church family. These are all seasons of life, but these are all seasons we can all relate to. Confirmation is one of the church's most ancient traditions, and even in the time of the early church, there were followers who participated in such events. I believe it is one of the most exciting because it is truly a time of transition from spiritual childhood to adulthood. The book of Corinthians speaks of it in terms of food or nutrition, when believers are no longer drinking milk as spiritual infants, but they are now matured enough into eating meat as spiritual adults. Today, our confirmands are deciding to become part of the church for themselves, not just brought to church by their parents. Today, these eight young men and women of God are choosing to follow Jesus, and deciding Christianity is what they want to embark upon. The rite of confirmation is a major milestone on their eternal walk with God, one that looks different for all of them and looks different for every single one of us in this room. Our scripture this morning, we read Jesus' farewell prayer in the upper room before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus knew his time on earth was coming to an end, and he spends time praying for his disciples, the people he loves dearly, his friends. And he prays three specific things that I believe really resonate with Confirmation Sunday. First, Jesus acknowledges who the disciples truly belong to: God. Jesus says, "You gave them to me, but they were always yours." This is true for all eight of you. This is true for all of us. We are not our own, but we are truly children of God, bought at a price by the blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. When I was in college, my mom, Mary, who's sitting there, prayed for me in my freshman dorm room. She said, "God, I asked you for a baby about 19 years ago, and you delivered. Thank you for giving this baby to me, but now I am giving her back to you." And after she finished crying, I was like, "What does this mean? Are we not going to talk anymore? Like, what's going on? I don't get it." And she explained that as a mother, she has done the best she could do, raising me up to be a good, godly Christ follower. As a child, she and my father decided I would go to VBS and Sunday school, and when I would or would not go on youth mission trips, where I would eat, what I would sleep, what schools I would go to. But now I had grown into a young woman, and it was time to place me under the direction and care of God, and to truly trust that I was always the Lord's. They just got to borrow me for a while. So to Nora, Julia, Bailey, Chance, Lexi, Eric, Dominic, and Laura, I am so thankful to get to be your youth pastor. And I am grateful for the time that I get with you in middle school and in high school. But I won't always be your pastor. God, however, is your eternal and constant pastor, your good shepherd. And God will continue to direct your path all of the days of your life. I am thankful that we all know in this room who we belong to, that we are His beloved children of God under His perfect care. The second portion of Christ's prayer is how He praises the disciples for receiving the truth that He has shared with them. Jesus says, "I have taught them everything I know. I have shared all truth I have with them." And the disciples truly believed that Jesus was the Son of God. "As confirmands, you eight have accepted the prevenient grace from God as a free gift. You have received the truth of the gospel and will confess publicly in a short time as Jesus is your Lord and Savior," making the choice to follow God. The Bible is very clear that every minute of every day, all of us are given two choices. We can either choose life or death, love or hate, forgiveness or rejection, good or evil. So today, in front of all of your loved ones, you are choosing love, goodness, life. You are choosing to roll down God's justice in the world. You are choosing Jesus and the glorious adventure He has for each one of you. But the thing is about making this decision today is that it's not a one and done kind of thing. It is a lifetime of decisions that now as adults you will get to make from now on. So tomorrow morning when it's not Confirmation Sunday and you're still kind of full from the Red Robin we will eat, I pray that you will make the decision to love people even when people make it hard sometimes. I pray that you will be strong and courageous to choose life, even when there is so much death in this world. I pray that you will be advocates to fight for justice and peace, even when you seem like you might be the only one fighting. Continue to resist evil and cling to good. And the more you decide to follow the life, love, and goodness of God, the more these holy habits will become natural. I think we can all attest to that. So when you come up here and publicly profess your faith, know that confirmation isn't the end, but it's the beginning of a journey with the triune God. As C.S. Lewis says, there are far, far better things ahead than any we leave behind. The final portion of Christ's prayer is that God would protect the disciples, that the Father would care for them just as Jesus had cared for them during His 3 years of ministry. As your youth pastor, I worry about you all the time. That's not a secret. I'm very vocal about that. I pray for your safety in school, in sports, with your friends, and that God would send a multitude of angels to surround you, especially when you get your driver's permit. Let's be real. Because I know and love your parents, and we talk sometimes, I know that they worry about you because they love you dearly. The fact is, Michelle and I and this whole church family love you. And whether you know every single one of our stories or not, we watch you and we pray that God will protect you and continue to grow you as young men and women of God. So as much as I would like to put you all in protective bubbles and follow you around, I can't. First of all, there's no time for that. Second of all, it's creepy. And I wouldn't want you to miss out on the amazing things that this life has to offer. Because with the bad comes the good, and with the hard times comes the successes and the mountaintops. So just as Jesus knew that the disciples would inevitably face hardship, and they would go on to many trials and tribulations, I know the same is inevitable for you eight. It is inevitable for all of us. We all face suffering, trials, and tribulations, and it is part of living in a broken world. God doesn't keep the bad things from happening, but he always gives us what we need to get through those hard times. I can attest to this, and I know you all will be given exactly what you need. So here is my prayer for the confirmation class of 2017. I won't pray that God will protect you from anything difficult or challenging, but my prayer is that God will give you the wisdom, strength, and resilience to get through every difficult time in your life. I pray that through your valleys and your sorrows, you would grow in character, integrity, and compassion for others. I pray that the Holy Spirit would continue to produce good fruit in each one of you, that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control would flow out of everything you do. I pray that you will cherish and exercise the power of prayer, that it would sanctify each one of you, cultivating a deeper relationship with the triune God. I pray that you would fall in love with Scripture, and that you would grow in understanding that it is a living, breathing book, the Word of God, that you would see the Bible as God's love story to each one of us, and that the Scripture would be illuminated through the power of the Spirit every time you read it for whatever you need. I pray that you would rely and continue to connect with this community of believers because they're amazing and pretty great. I pray that as you press into our church family here at Applewood Valley United Methodist Church, you would remember that in the good times and the bad, successes and the failures, you are never alone. There is always someone here in this place waiting to give you a hug and pray with you. I pray that each one of you would continue to use your gifts and graces to edify this church as the headquarters of hope. You have many gifts and graces. And I pray that we will get to have you as long as we possibly can. Finally, may we all walk in the assurance that our identity is first and foremost as a beloved child of God, beautiful and holy in every way, and that God will continue to do immeasurably more than anything you could ever ask for or imagine in your lives. Congratulations on your confirmation, beloved students. This is the beginning of your eternal walk with God, and the best is truly yet to come. Amen.
The response this morning is 21:29. I have decided to follow Jesus. We'll do the first and third verses.